Open up with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here with you on this evening, this day of this new study. Father, our greatest desire is and should be, Lord, to bring you pleasure. Father, to honor you, Lord, before all who would be watching, for those present, Father, for those listening, we ask, Lord, that you would guide us so the things said, the things understood, the things spoken, Lord, would be consistent with your desire. Father, as we wait upon you and your promise that you will lead us, we thank you in faith. And Father, ask that you would bless this time together and this teaching, this recording, these biblical principles, Lord, to all that you would be drawing to yourself, to all who would seek after. All that you desire, we ask, Father, for your honor, your glory, your good pleasure. Thanking you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Since this is the very first teaching of this study, I thought it would be helpful to kind of get some administrative things quickly out of the way. And a good place to start might be, well, why are we doing this? So you know that we are studying biblical principles from a book entitled The Green Letters. If you have that book, I want to go right to the first paragraph of the first chapter and to read and remember again the information found there. The author of this particular book says, of this study in faith, that the aim of this book is to carefully bring out some of the more important principles of spiritual growth to help the reader build upon a sound biblical foundation in Christ. He can honor no other. I would like to underscore the sound biblical foundation and also say, in regards to God's perfect will, He will not honor any other. We know that God uses everything. But our best focus should be on what does God desire? What does He want for us that is consistent with His will? So as we look at that study, we know that growth for the individual believer and the church is God's plan. And He has led us. I have a firm conviction this time that we're doing these things and recording this portion of the study this evening consistent with His leading. Now in that, prayerfully also, if you have your Bibles, there's another biblical principle that's consistent with this particular study that I would like to read together with you, and you find it in Philippians chapter 3. So we'll give you a moment as you're making your way to Philippians chapter 3. And I would like to encourage anybody who's listening to this and just introduce the reason why we're recording is that you would have an opportunity to prayerfully read through the material, seek and search through the scriptures to find what the Lord is speaking to you in them. Having done that, the thing that the Lord has led me to include with this tonight is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, where we read our brother, the Apostle Paul, writing first to the church in Philippi and also writing for us as brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. The Spirit of God moved Paul several times to write to the church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But now the Spirit of God expands it to say, there's more than just Paul. And that's the Lord's idea. There was then, there have been, and there are now, Lord willing, people who desire to do that same very thing, to draw close to the Lord in faith. And by God's grace, they have been doing it. I was led to include that because I believe one of the values of this material is a multitude of quotes by brothers and sisters from different times, different places, real believers seeking the Lord and His Word, have experienced and written about, recorded, for those who would do likewise, as a pattern. So I would refer to this as a pattern of faith as we read the testimony of these quotes of brothers and sisters as we go through this study. One more additional thing before we get to our chapter specific. We have another resource in the form of a devotional called None But the Hungry Heart. We have them available here, and I would encourage everyone who is so led to pick one of those up. And what a blessing to be starting this on the very first day of the new year here. The devotional is laid out with one portion every day, and always I encourage prayerfully seek the Lord, ask Him to direct and apply what He would speak to you through the section, if there be anything, and the Lord will be faithful to do so. But also, I would include, if you grab one of these, please do yourself a favor and read the foreword of the devotional as well as the preface, and you will have some additional testimony and the purpose for that explained as well. So with the administratives out of the way, and having prayerfully sought the Lord, what did He want for us at this time and those listening to take away from this? Well, everything that He's shown you. But for the recorded part, this study starts out with a question right at the outset. And this is going to be the big takeaway, hopefully by God's grace, simply and clearly explained and then accessible to us, to ask ourselves what the author asks when he refers to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, when the Spirit of God wrote to the church and told them, examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. So the question is simply this: from God's perspective, are you in the faith? Biblically speaking, are you in the faith? Before we can answer yes or no to that, we have to understand, what does the Lord mean as He, well, encouraged the church and us with that? What does He mean by asking, are we in the faith? To be able to answer that, we have to have a working definition that agrees with what Scripture tells us for the English word defined faith. We know that faith can be both a noun and a verb, whether we're doing it or we're referring to all that's entailed within that. But I would like to, for the purposes of our study going forward, define faith this way. Faith defined is total dependence on God's revealed fact. Again, for anyone taking notes or listening, we're defining faith as total dependence on God's revealed facts. Now, we need to understand that, and the words were chosen carefully so there would be no extras, and every one would be essential. So we start as we break down these things. We need to differentiate or make a difference biblically in our understanding between knowledge, because we're talking about God's facts, or knowing, and faith, and I would put in parentheses, believing. What do I mean? I'm trying to simply say, perhaps contrary to our understanding and the culture that we live in, the way our Father in heaven looks at this is, faith is different than just knowing God's information. Perhaps it would be helpful to hold up here and answer another question that some might have. Well, wait a minute. They asked the question at the beginning, are you in the faith? Aren't they really asking, are you a believer? Are you saved? Are you born again? Well, as we've seen in this study, in this chapter, and even given in the title of the book, this study presumes, takes for granted, that you are a born-again believer. Because the aim is spiritual growth. If you're not a believer, you're not going to grow in the faith. So this is someone who has been born again. And they're asking this Spirit-indwelt believer, are you in the faith? So we're talking about our practice. Well, if we define, and we have defined faith as total dependence on God's revealed facts, oh, I go to Bible study. I know what God has said about this. That's knowledge. That's not faith. Now, we're making that distinction. We're differentiating between knowledge, knowing, and faith, which is believing. And as many of you have heard before, we've introduced two maxims often in the teaching that help us to understand. And I will just say again, hopefully for helpfulness here, two short sayings to teach us the point that only, maxim number one, only those who know can grow, speaking of spiritual growth. Again, knowing is not growing. It's necessary to, and in the same way, knowing is not the same as believing or practicing our faith. It's absolutely essential, but if all you have is knowledge, you could not answer yes to the Spirit's question in 2 Corinthians. I am in the faith. And as a quick aside, you could actually be in a dangerous position. The Lord has told us in His Word that knowledge by itself can puff up or make us arrogant. And biblical knowledge not acted on in faith can leave a believer deceived, according to the Holy Spirit, as detailed in James and elsewhere. So, as we're asking the question, are you in the faith? We understand that there's a necessary first part. Total dependence on God's revealed facts. You have to know what God's revealed facts is. You have to understand what He's teaching us about the passage of the Word. That's step one, but that is not you being in the faith. That's the first part. That's biblical knowledge. Now, the second maxim, the first being, again, only those who know can grow. It's not you will grow, but you can. You have what is necessary. The second maxim is only those who believe will receive. Now, we're making the word believe and faith in the verb sense as being synonymous. It's the application of our faith. Back to our definition, total dependence on God's revealed facts. So believing is depending upon or trusting what God has revealed in His Word as He wants it to be. So if you know what God wants about a biblical passage, He's revealed it by His Spirit, and you are responding in trust, total dependence, you could answer, yes, I am in the faith regarding this particular subject. Now, it's the process that's in view in the study, and the reason that it's been introduced at the beginning is because it's absolutely essential. Think about it. The rest of this study is going to teach you more biblical principles. Will you grow if all you have is the teaching? No, you will have the potential. You'll have the necessary ingredient. But to put into action or practice by faith, to believe, to trust, that is what the Lord wants. That is the example of our Lord Jesus. That is the example of those who have followed our Lord Jesus, who said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, who have said so many things on this subject, but we want to keep it simple tonight, here at the beginning. If we don't get this, there will be no growth until we do. So again, faith defined, total dependence on God's revealed fact. Now, one more quick reference to the first word, total. It's different than partial, right? That's what Jesus modeled. That's what the Spirit taught the churches. That's what even the Old Testament examples of faithful men and women were in the various instances that they were referred to. So, one question, one takeaway for this portion. Are you in the faith? You have to know what God has said, and then you have to respond in trust and dependence on what the Lord has revealed. If you can do that, and that's the goal, brothers and sisters, the answer is a resounding yes. Why is this important? For more reasons than we'll list and have already mentioned, but we take the biblical direction from the Lord, found in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, we cannot please God. So if, and as the Spirit has said, if we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to God, there is no other way. We're not saying that this is easy, but we are saying that this is simple. And we can go forward a little bit and believe in faith and confidence, no matter what it looks like from the outset, and say, well, there must be an easy component, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Without faith, we cannot please God. He's really specific. The Lord does not say you might not. He said you cannot please God. If we think we're pleasing God by going to Bible studies without any trusting response, well, that's an example of knowledge that may have puffed us up, but it certainly deceived us. What we have is the first necessary ingredient, and one more of a multitude I have prayerfully selected here as we come to an end of this portion of the teaching and the recording. Without faith, a Christian can have no relationship with God. Now think carefully and biblically about this. We often hear it said in our culture, well, I don't have a religion, I have a relationship. Oh, and that is true. We have the potential. This is what God desires. This is His perfect will. But the Lord has said that the just shall live by faith. Right? Now, the key word for our understanding in this example is the word live. When Jesus spoke of eternal life, He said, this is eternal life, knowing God and His Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that intimate, that relationship is the same as life. It happens by faith. It happens no other way. The just shall live. The just shall have this living, vital relationship, intimate relationship by faith. The Lord says to His children, this is what I want for you. Here's where you should trust me. The child says, I'm depending completely or totally on you, Father, for this. And then the Holy Spirit works. You're seeing, and the Lord is ministering to you and bearing His fruit, and you're growing in the process. We recognize this as abiding. It happens by faith. It's by grace through faith, but faith is the subject. Knowing what God has said and trusting completely. When you do that, you are in the faith. So the question as we close out this portion of the teaching tonight is what this study opened up with. Are you in the faith? Father, we want to pray again and give you thanks. Pray for those present. Pray for those listening. Lord, that by your Spirit, you guide them to your understanding. You bring to their remembrance, Lord, the things you have told them. Lord, you lead them into your truth. Father, as we stand upon these truths, these facts revealed in your word, you certainly will work. Lord, we will be in the faith. We will come to learn of you and know of you and see you work. May you be glorified fully, Lord, and be well pleased to bless those present, those listening, with the fullness of your understanding as you continue to direct us. We ask this, giving you thanks in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.